Hello.
Hey, Hunter. It's Tori.
Tori who?
You're the worst. Hey, I am Houston, and I are recording for the FSN podcast right now, and I just tried to drop a beat.
I bet that went really well.
Yeah, it was okay, but I was hoping that you could drop a beat for us.
Wait, am I live right now?
Oh, you're live.
Yeah, you're live.
Oh, baby, let's go.
We need your help.
Dogs getting louder.
I just can't switch the beat. Dang it.
Takes practice.
It does.
All right. We're live.
All right. We're live. Welcome to another episode of FSM Podcast. My name is Tori Vaughn, and I'm here with the Houston Clifton.
Hi. That's me.
You're so weird. For those of you who regularly attend our FSM Sunday morning services, he's the one on the stage with the guitar that can sing pretty well, I'd say.
Don't know about that, but apparently Tori can actually sing.
I can. I'm
really,
glad
really
that you
well.
Brought that up.
Actually, one of the first conversations that me and Tori had, she just walks up and says, hey, I don't know if you know this, but I'm a really, really good singer. Which,
because
of course,
I am.
Strikes me with immediate fear. Because when someone walks up to you and says, I'm really, really good at blank, that means either one of two things.
That they are.
One, that they're really, really bad
really
and don't
awesome.
Know it, which is awkward.
And they know
or
it.
Or two, they're really, really good, but also super prideful.
No.
Either way,
no.
Super awkward. And I'm awkward already, so of course that immediately made me want to die. And... yeah, I think she was just messing with me. I think you were just messing with me.
Unfortunately, I wasn't messing with you. I actually can sing. You've just never given me a chance.
Yep. That's not going to happen.
And so I thought, turn of events, you thought we'd be talking about Good Friday today, and we're actually going to be doing an audition, me, for worship.
Why,
I want...
Is that why Mia's here? Is that why you brought Mia? You
yes,
rigged
I
the
need...
judging panel.
I rigged the... Yes, I brought my dog to record today. And I just needed a second witness, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
I needed someone to affirm...
as per old Jewish tradition.
Exactly. Exactly. Thank you. And so I thought that I would just...
Can you sing for us?
Yeah. I can't.
Everyone,
hang on.
This is Tori Vaughn's
audition. Hang on, let me take a drink of LaCroix.
LaCroix always helps.
It's good on the vocal cords.
Mm-hmm. Smooth on the folksies.
Okay. This is a fitting song, I think, for me that I've prepared. I can open your eyes, take you wonder by wonder, over, sideways, and under, on a magic carpet ride. Wow, that was good.
That was so beautiful.
Thank you.
Yeah, y'all actually can't see this right now, but I'm actually tearing up.
Hey, we're glad you joined us this morning.
So glad.
Or this afternoon, or this evening, really. Whenever you joined us, we're glad that you're here. For those of you who have been following along, we just finished up our 5-week series on emotions called Question, Lies, and Truth. And it has been rocking my world. It's so good. I hope that you guys have gone back and listened to the podcast. We did a couple podcasts on anxiety and stress, anger and sadness. And then we just finished one up last week on the truth, and that the answer in all of these emotions is found in the person of Jesus. And so Kyle and Hunter do a great job of just giving you practicals into each of those emotions and just a lot of scripture to encourage you. And so it has been really encouraging to me. And so if you haven't listened, I encourage you to go back after you listen to this podcast. Go listen to it. We have handouts and devos for you to walk through and share it with other people. I'm probably going to say this a lot during this podcast, but don't keep truth to yourself. If something has encouraged you, there is a good chance that it's going to encourage someone else. And so share it with other people because we want just the body to be encouraged during this time.
Yeah, for sure. And this is probably going to make me sound like I'm 70 years old, but we have cell phones. And with those cell phones, we can still be a connected church. FSM can still be a community, even though that right now we can't meet on Sunday morning. So guys, be sharing scripture with each other. Be sharing your prayer requests. Sharing encouraging words with one another. Just because we can't meet right now doesn't mean that we can't be the church.
Yep. Amen. That's good. And so today we're going to be taking a bit of a turn and stepping back into our Lent series. And so here at Fellowship Bible Church, we are going through a year-long study on clarity. And so seeing Jesus more clearly, and we're following along the Christian calendar. And so right now we are in our Lent series, and today we're going to be talking about something that we think is extremely important as followers of Christ. And so we're going to step into that. We hope that you're encouraged and challenged by just a little bit of history and a little bit of worship. We're going to take some pauses during this podcast and give you a chance to pray, spend time with the Lord, and just worship together. So Houston, why don't you tell them what we're going to be talking about today?
Yeah. So today we're going to look at something that Christians throughout history have been celebrating for really like the past 17 centuries.
A long time.
Long time.
It's a long time.
And that is Good Friday. So if you've grown up in or if you've been around the church at all, this is probably something that you have heard of during this time of year, like around Easter time. But if you're anything like me, you might not fully understand it. For me, I didn't really understand the meaning behind Good Friday or really the full meaning of the Passion Week at all. Not really until I was in college. I grew up in a small church that didn't do anything special for these services. And I knew these were things. I knew Good Friday had to do something with the crucifixion of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
But I really didn't know the full tradition behind it. And there's a lot of tradition involved in our Christian faith. Even in scripture, we see Jesus acknowledged and followed Jewish traditions. For example, in the Gospels, we see that Jesus acknowledged the Jewish tradition that's called the Passover. And the day before his crucifixion with his disciples, for the first time ever, Jesus initiated the practice of communion. And he commanded them and all of the coming church to take that in remembrance of him.
Yeah, I don't think I knew a lot of this either until I was in college.
Mm-mm.
My church didn't really... Like, they did, but they didn't, if that makes sense. And so a lot of this was new for me as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And our traditions, they go really, really deep.
Mm-hmm.
They bring unity with us. They can provide really powerful ways for us to worship together. But if we don't understand the meaning behind a particular tradition, it itself kind of becomes meaningless. That lowers the quality of the authenticity of our worship. So our goal for today is to answer some really basic but important questions about Good Friday and what it is, and also provide a few bits of space for you to sit and worship personally as you listen.
Yeah, absolutely. That actually reminds me really fast. One of my favorite Bible teachers, such a strong woman of God, she says this thing that has just stuck with me. She says, your heart cannot love what your head doesn't know. And so that's been so crucial in my daily walk with the Lord. And just believe it's so important that we have to know what we believe and why we believe it in order for us to fall in love with Jesus. And so we hope that this gives you some head knowledge to understand why we worship Jesus and just the impact that his death and resurrection had on our lives. And so I'm excited about this. We're about to dive in and talk about it. So let's go.
Yeah. Question number one.
Ask me, Houston. I got a lifetime of knowledge.
Let's start with the basics. So what is Good Friday?
Great question, Houston. Simply, Good Friday is the Friday right before Easter where Christians commemorate the death of Jesus Christ on the cross. And so it's this somber, sad, dark day as we're reminded that the light of the world, that God incarnate, Jesus himself, was slain for the sins of the world. Mm. And so he's on the cross, and we as believers look back on that day.
Mm. Yeah,
that's Good Friday, in anticipation for Sunday, right? And so you look back at scripture, and there's this beautiful narrative that God is playing out, and I remember it told to me that it's just this golden thread from Genesis to Revelation of scripture just screaming of this Savior who anticipation like is coming, that he comes and that he's coming again. And so it's this beautiful story. I mean, you see in Genesis 3, God look at the serpent and give a prophecy of Jesus coming, and Abraham and Isaac on the mountain, and Mount Moriah, and Moses on Mount Sinai, and King David on his throne, and all the way to the book of Malachi, there's this anticipation of Christ mm-hmm. coming. And so when we look at Good Friday, what we're celebrating, what we're looking at and remembering is this story finally taking place. And so Christ came, and yeah. his sacrifice was exactly what God had planned from the beginning.
Yeah.
And so he was the coming mm-hmm. king. Like mm-hmm. he was the lamb that was to be slain on our behalf. Mm-hmm. And so as he hung on the cross on that Friday, that's what we look back to. And so that's Good Friday.
Hmm. Yeah. So really it's the unveiling of like God's mystery mm-hmm. of bringing sinful people back to himself because mm-hmm. he does love us that much. Like, and that's just the golden thread thing is so cool. From Genesis 3, from the fall of humanity, mm-hmm. from the point that sin entered the world, God was just trying to bring us back. And that's what Good Friday is. That's the point where that happened.
Yeah. And yeah, I mean, and not only that, but like we know how the story ends. And so we know that Sunday is coming, right? And so yes, on Good Friday, we look back at Jesus on the cross, but we also look forward to him coming again, three days later.
Yeah. Okay. So that actually brings up a really good question that I've had before. And that's the whole Friday, Sunday thing. Mm-hmm. Like, it's kind of like common knowledge, I feel like, or at least pastors like always say from the stage, like Jesus died and rose again after 3 days.
Right.
But Friday to Sunday, that's like Saturday is the only full day involved there. So like, yeah. what's the deal?
So can our pastor's lying to us.
I mean, I know I can't count.
Yeah.
But I mean, I've just heard other people ask that question. So
no, I think that that's a great question. I mean, because it's like, are pastors lying to us or what? You know, when we look at that, or when we read scripture. But I think we have to take off our glasses and how we see time, and put ourselves into the time of the New Testament writers. And so they actually didn't divide days into midnight like we do. And so, but at sundown is when they would make the cutoff. And so, which makes sense because these first century Jewish mind, even part of the day counted as a whole day. So because Jesus was buried on Friday evening and rose on Sunday morning, he was in the tomb 3 days and three nights, like by Jewish reckoning, that's what they would say. And so Friday, when he died, Good Friday, and then Saturday, he's Number in two. The tomb, and then he arose on Sunday, which would be day three. And so that's how we get Jesus was in the grave for 3 days. I will say that this is something extremely cool that God is showing us in this moment. And so we know that on Saturday was this full day of Jesus being in the tomb. And so it points us back to the Sabbath, which is crazy because that means the same way that God rested in Genesis 2 after creating the world, Jesus, God incarnate, rested before establishing the new covenant. And so we know, like as believers, that when Jesus arose from the grave, immediately new life was formed, right? And when he ascends back to heaven, he says, I'm giving you my spirit. And we look back at old prophecies and it says, I'm creating a new covenant, right? Mm-hmm. That no longer is the law going to be written on stone, but I'm going to write it on their hearts. And so there's this promise of new heaven and new earth. And God doesn't want us to just experience it in eternity, but today, that we get to live in the fullness of it, which is just incredible. Yeah. And it just makes me want to worship him more, if I'm honest. And just sing really loud.
I forgot this was your audition.
Yeah. Sorry. I haven't really thrown in some of my vocals. No, but it stirs me. It stirs me to worship. And that is what Good Friday does. Good Friday is this moment that we look back on Jesus's death on the cross. We look at the sacrifice that he made.
Yeah, that's awesome. And just like you said, that story alone, that calls me into a state of worship, that stirs me for a time of worship. So let's just do that together right now. Even over a podcast, just take some time and be still. And let's think about the cross. Let's think about what it brought. Let's think about what is old and the new covenant to come and what we sit in right now.
stood accused, beaten, mocked, and scorned, bowing to the Father's will, he took a crown of thorns. Oh, that rugged cross, my salvation, where your love poured out over me. And now my soul cries out, hallelujah, praise and honor unto thee. Sent of heaven, God's own Son, to purchase and redeem and reconcile the very ones who nailed him to that tree. Oh, that rugged cross, my salvation,
favorite songs to sing and worship with everyone. Like, so good. Someday,
so good.
I hope
so good
to sing it on stage, Houston, with you.
Yep. That's not going to happen as long as I'm FSM worship pastor. How about you sing for us a little bit more right now, actually?
What do you want me to sing?
Sing me a song from your childhood.
Childhood? Mm-hmm. Okay. In West Philadelphia, born and raised on the playground. Okay. Okay, let's get back to what we were talking about. Houston, I loved what you said earlier in the podcast about traditions and knowing kind of where the churches come from and why we celebrate certain things. Mm-hmm. And so I would love to know just about how the early church celebrated mm-hmm. Good Friday and what does celebration for us look like now? Because I think it's good for us to know how did they celebrate it 17 centuries ago and, mm-hmm. and how do we celebrate that now? Mm-hmm. I just think it's important.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of a history nerd.
Nice.
About that stuff. Uh-huh. So
yeah.
What did that look like?
Yeah. So the earliest records that the church has today of the celebration of Good Friday or even the Passion Week at all, it's going to come from this super old document that's called The Travels of Egeria or even The Pilgrimage of Egeria.
I'm going to name my first daughter that.
Yeah, you probably shouldn't.
Egeria.
Anyway, but she was alive and writing this around 380 AD. So
that's a long time ago.
A very long time ago. And basically, she was a woman of good means from North Spain who is basically going like on a religious trip, kind of think like religious tourism, or like if the church was taking a trip to Israel and you're like, oh, I want to go and see the Holy Land and all that kind of thing. That's kind of
which I really do want to go. And
no,
do.
I haven't been either. It would be incredible.
It would be amazing.
So yeah.
Why is it Egeria so expensive? Had the right idea.
And so that's what she was doing. So she was stopping through places like what was believed at the time to be Mount Sinai or like Jerusalem or
amazing.
Constantinople. And she was writing a really detailed account of what she saw as she went. And so this writing that she came up with is actually the earliest record that the church has of a worship service involving Easter or anything like that at all.
That's
and this
crazy.
Is super early church in general. The date for Christmas had just been founded like 60 years prior to this. So this is like
crazy.
Really, really early.
Yeah.
Anyway, so basically from her records, we know that the early church took this incredibly seriously.
Good Friday.
And so what they would do is at sunrise, those who were celebrating, they would wake up on the Mount of Olives. And yes, I said they would wake up there as if they camped there the night before.
Dope!
So the group of worshipers went camping the night
That's
before
amazing.
On the Mount of Olives, which this is actually where Jesus was when he was arrested. Mm-hmm. You know, he was in the Garden of Gethsemane when scripture tells us that his sweat was falling like blood because of, the stress of what was to come that he knew. Anyway, so they would wake up there, and that entire night before, they had been singing songs together and praying together, and they would actually start their walk down the Mount of Olives towards Jerusalem, making their way up what's called Via della Rosa.
Via della Rosa.
Via della Rosa.
Via della Rosa. Via della Rosa. Yeah, I'm going to name my next dog that.
So, yeah, so now you have Egeria, your daughter.
Egeria.
And
Via della Rosa. Via della Rosa.
And Mia. She's just chilling.
Yeah, and Mia. Her real name is Amelia Mionette Thermopolis, Princess of Genovia. Name that movie. Name it.
I can't.
What? Amelia Mionette Thermopolis, Ronaldo.
I got nothing.
Princess of Genovia. Oh my gosh.
Nothing. What is it?
The Princess Diaries.
Oh, yeah. I have not seen that.
Okay.
Mia, have you seen The Princess Diaries?
she actually hasn't watched it.
That's very fascinating, Mia. Okay. Anyway, so they would walk the Via della Rosa, which is actually, this is the way that's that Jesus likely took as he made his way to the cross. And so like Jesus, they would make their way to the cross. And while they were doing this, they were still praying for each other. They were still singing psalms and just spiritual songs in general. And when they arrived at Calvary, the place where Jesus died on the cross, they would spend time reading scripture together, looking back at the passion story, at the account of Jesus's death. And then they would actually open up a time for respect for the cross itself.
That's really, really interesting. But also just shows like a ton of reverence that they have for this moment. Mm-hmm. And so as Good Friday is approaching, you can tell that they take it serious. Mm-hmm. You know, like this is the day that
reverence is the perfect word.
Yeah, this is the day that their Savior died for the sins of the world. And so they're going and they're camping and they're traveling and they're reading scripture and they're spending time in prayer.
Almost picturing as if they're there.
Yeah.
Again, like sitting in that moment.
Yeah. Wow. That's powerful. Okay. So this is what these early church fathers and leaders and early church followers were doing. What does that mean for present day followers, for you and me, for students and parents today?
Yeah. A couple of cool points from what we just looked at. What do Christians do today when we gather? We sing, definitely. We pray together. We look into scripture together. So even that right there, to me, feels more meaningful, knowing how much just our worship shares with what the early church did. And even some of our traditions when it comes to Good Friday, I mean, they're still the exact same. Yeah, we can't walk the streets of Jerusalem like they did. We can't right. stand at Calvary like they did, but we still walk through scripture. We read the passion story together and we put ourselves in that scene mm-hmm. of Jesus's crucifixion where we can just sit in that moment and have reverence and respect for the cross and what that means for us.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say is we might not be in the place, but I mean, you look at John 15 and, mm. and Jesus is saying, it's no longer this place that you're worshiping, but it's a person. It's me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I am the vine. And so you get to worship me. It's no longer mm-hmm. a place. It's a person of Jesus.
Yeah.
And so mm-hmm. I think that's so cool that we're mm-hmm. getting to align with the early church followers mm-hmm. in that way and early followers of Jesus. But I am wondering, and I have always actually wondered this, and I feel like I get this from a lot of different people. Why do we show so much like emphasis and reverence and respect mm-hmm. for the cross
mm-hmm.
when it was what Jesus was crucified on? You know, what mm-hmm. what's the deal with that?
Yeah, that's a super valid question. 'Cause you don't think of the cross being this thing that's on like girls' necklaces and like guys have tattoos of crosses.
Right.
And it's just thrown around so casually as a symbol mm-hmm. of Christianity. But it seems kind of weird because, like, this is like a thing that people died on. And even like the early Christians didn't use this as a symbol to represent Christianity until around the same time that we're talking about now, the fourth century, because it was associated with violence or even criminal activity.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's almost like as if you were seeing a group of people today, like, sporting their teardrop tattoos under their eyes
mm.
is like the symbol for their religion,
right.
which would be super weird because it's like, yeah.
So I think the question I have is why, okay, Jesus, what we've talked about is Jesus died on this Friday, right?
Mm-hmm.
Hung on the cross.
Mm-hmm.
All of eternity comes to this moment,
mm-hmm.
right? Where mm-hmm. the savior of the world, God himself, is hanging on a cross.
Mm-hmm.
Why do we call it Good Friday then?
Yeah.
What? Why is it Good Friday?
I
feel like it should be Sad Friday.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Sad, uh-huh. sad Friday. What's.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's why we look toward the cross. That's why the cross is the symbol of Christianity. And that reason is called substitution.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus was the substitution for us sinners on the cross. Like, look at how the Apostle Paul puts it in Romans 5. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Or even, Tori, what you mentioned earlier, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life.
Mm-hmm.
The cross, although horrible in its own ways and what it was used for, was also part of God's wonderful and mysterious plan to bring sinful humanity back to himself. Since sin entered the world in Genesis
right.
3. So as we celebrate Good Friday, it's not about sorrow. Like, yes, it's hard to look at the brutality of what the cross
mm-hmm.
was. It's hard to read of nails being pushed through Jesus's hands and the crown of thorns on his head.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't for nothing. In fact, it
right.
was for the greatest demonstration of love throughout all of history. Good Friday is about sitting in the awe of what Jesus Christ, God, did for us, taking our place on the cross.
Hmm. Which, again, just stirs my heart to want to worship, stirs my heart to want to sit and to thank the Lord for what he did.
But the blood but the blood. Every curse was broken. Oh, I know it was nothing but the blood. Nothing but the blood.
Good. You're showing me up. This is supposed to be my audition for Evanston Worship. I can't compete with that. Jeez. It's like a God-given gift. Mm. Sounds like the angels are singing. Jeez. Also, I love that song. Is that a new song?
Yeah, no. If we ever actually have services again, we will be doing that song.
We will.
Yes.
We'll be in service again. Mark my word.
Mark Tori's words. So, knowing what is so good about Good Friday now at this point, what should our response be to that as believers?
Yeah, that's a great question. And so I think knowing that the story doesn't end at the grave, which is the best news of all time, that 3 days later, Jesus will be raised from the dead and now sits at the right hand of the Father, should only stir worship and hope in us. Mm-hmm. And so, first, I think because of this hope, if we believe this to be true, that Jesus died, was buried, and rose again, that we get to have a personal relationship with him, right? That he makes it possible for us to know him, to sit with him, and to commune with him. And so I think that this is encouraging for us. And so if you're listening to this and maybe for the first time you understand like, oh, Christ died on my behalf so that I might no longer walk in sin and shame, mm-hmm. but in the freedom of him. and of knowing him, that I get to sit down at a table and commune with the God of all creation. If this is the first time you're hearing it, we want to invite you to come to know him, to talk to someone about that, to ask questions and to understand that God wants to be in relationship with you, that we get to be in a personal relationship with Christ. And so I think our first thing in that, in understanding Good Friday and the goodness of Good Friday, is to understand that we get to have a personal relationship with Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, both, I've heard your story before, and it's really encouraging. And our team was just talking about it, you know, this morning, of just the awe of what Christ did for us, and that we get to know him, and how much peace and hope that that brings to mm-hmm. us, even in the midst of chaos of something like COVID-19, mm-hmm. you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I think a personal relationship with Jesus is something that we get to have. And secondly, our response to Good Friday, to Christ's death on the cross, but ultimately his resurrection on Sunday, is that we get to be thankful and we get to be awe-filled and worshipful in spirit.
Yeah, that, I mean, that's what this is. This is worship. I mean, thinking back like two Sunday mornings, you've probably heard me say this all the time because I do. Mm-hmm. Like, we do this because of who you are, God, and what you've mm-hmm. done for us. And I feel like it can't be said enough. When we worship the Lord, when we look upon him, we are awe-filled,
mm-hmm.
one, just to be in his presence, and two, that moves us to a response to him, because right. he has spoken first.
Right.
He has given us this gift mm-hmm. of Jesus, of the cross, and now it's like, what are you going to do with it?
Yeah, absolutely. And we say this all the time, that our desire as FSM is for you to know Jesus and make him known. And so another response to this beautiful story of redemption that we get to reflect on in Good Friday is that we not only get to experience that ourselves, but we get to go and share that with others. And so you look at Matthew 28, where Jesus gives the Great Commission after mm-hmm. he is resurrected from the grave, and he goes and he's speaking to the disciples, and he tells them that, like, I want you to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so God gives us this great commission after he's resurrected. And that commission is not only to the disciples, but to us, and that we get to go and share mm-hmm. stuff. And so we don't keep this podcast to ourselves. We don't keep the message of Christ's death on the cross to ourselves. We go and we share that with people because we know the hope and the life that it brings to people.
Mm-hmm.
If it wasn't for someone sharing it with me, I wouldn't be sitting here today.
Hmm. Yeah. Looking at like what the early Christians were doing to celebrate Good Friday. Like, yes, they were there on Calvary, sitting mm-hmm. in the horribleness of Jesus's death, but they knew what was to come,
mm-hmm.
just like we do
mm-hmm.
on Good Friday. Yes, we are sitting and we are being awe-filled by the cross and what was happening in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
But we have the privilege to look forward and know what is to come.
Right.
Like, Easter is coming. We know that Jesus rose again, but also we know that Jesus is coming again for us. And our mm-hmm. response to that as the church is to do something about it. It's to spread the good news of Jesus to all who could believe.
Yeah. Hope in total restoration to come, that mm-hmm. God is making a new heaven mm-hmm. and new earth. I mean, you read it, that I am making all things new.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is Good Friday, that the moment that Jesus was slain on the cross, that he came as a lamb to be slain, and he's coming again as a lion to restore his kingdom. And we get to be a part of that narrative. And that's incredible.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's our prayer that as you guys are sitting here on a Wednesday or a Thursday or even Friday, that you would take space and you would be reminded of what happened on the cross, that you would look up and you would look into the eyes of Jesus and you would be reminded of what he did for you. Because on the moment that he was hanging on the cross, his eyes were filled with love and you were on his mind.
Mm.
And that is what changes us. That is what stirs awe and affection and desire to serve him in us. And it should fill you with this immense amount of love and care. And it feels unexplainable. Just because we don't deserve it.
Mm.
And so that's our prayer, that hopefully in this time that you were given a little bit of context into what Good Friday is, but not only that, that you would do something with it, that you would leave this podcast and you would sit and you would be with Jesus. Mm-hmm. And we want to end our time with one more song together.
Mm.
We want to give you space. I love this song, Hallelujah for the Cross, but we want to give you space to thank the Lord for the cross, because that's what Good Friday is. Mm-hmm. So let's take some time and thank God for the cross together.
I would be hopeless without your goodness. I would be desperate without your love. Slave to the darkness, if it wasn't for the cross. You have won me with your kindness. Chased me down when I was lost. Oh, where would I be if it wasn't for the cross? Hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. I was a prisoner, now I'm not. 'Cause with your blood, you bought my freedom. Oh, hallelujah, for the cross. And by his stripes I'm healed, and by your death I live. The power of sin is overcome. It is finished, it is done. By his stripes I'm healed, and by your death I live. The power of sin is overcome. It is finished, it is done. By your stripes I'm healed, and by your death I live. The power of sin is overcome. It is finished, it is done. By your stripes I'm healed, and by your death I live. The power of sin is overcome. It is finished. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I was a prisoner, now I'm not. 'Cause with your blood, you bought my freedom. Hallelujah for the cross. Hallelujah for the cross. And hallelujah for the cross. And for the sake of the world, burn like a fire in me. Light a flame in my soul for every eye to see. For the sake of the world, burn like a fire in me. Like a fire in me. And for the sake of the world, burn like a fire in me. Light a flame in my soul for every eye to see. For the sake of the world, burn like a fire in me. Like a fire in me.
Hey FSM, thanks for listening. We miss you guys so much, and we're looking forward to when we can gather together and worship again. But until then, on Sunday mornings, be watching the fellowship videos that are being put out with your family. Spend some time worshiping with them. And until then, let's hear a word from our sponsors.
Hi, thank you so much for tuning into our podcast. We just want to give a quick shout out to some of our sponsors. Thank you so much to Zoom Video Chat, who gives you 40 minutes of uninterrupted communication with those that you love. Thank you, Zoom. We also want to give a shout out to Three Wick Candles, that promises to burn the wax all the way down to the bottom without leaving any on the side. Thank you, Three Wick Candles. We also want to give a big shout out to Carmex the Chapstick. We're not sure if anyone actually uses that, but thank you so much for providing a subpar lip chap. And lastly, we want to give a shout out to anyone out there named Calvin.